Good evening. How do I follow this morning? Yeah, brilliant. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians 6, and I'm going to read from verse 5 to 9. I'm going to speak on slaves and masters. Verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he be slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favouritism with him. Just want to give you a bit of background. Paul's talking to slaves, and the last verse is talking to masters. Now, when he wrote this, there was estimated 60 million slaves throughout the world at that time. Slaves were really not classed as people. They were a commodity. They were the lowest of the low. They got to the point where slaves had been dehumanized. They were just a part of the furniture of the house. There are instances where slaves were, and I'm going to reel off quite a list here, whipped, mutilated, imprisoned in chains. They had their teeth knocked out. They had their eyes gouged out. They were even thrown to wild animals. And some were even crucified. And sometimes these punishments were for the most trivial things. So you're getting a background of to who Paul is speaking to in slaves. I've been reading that some of the slaves found it so bad that they ran away. And if they ran away and got caught, it was even worse. They were either branded, flogged, or even executed. And some slaves found it that bad, they just committed suicide. Life was that bad. Evidence shows that during that time, cruelty towards them was widespread. So again, we look. Who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to the slaves. And it's remarkable that he addresses slaves in that era, because they were the lowest of the low. Because he chooses to talk to and write to slaves, that shows us that they were acceptable in church. They were acceptable as Christians. Paul is acknowledging slaves. He's acknowledging them on a level that everybody else is on. He speaks to them in the same chapter as he does masters. And not only that, we think, well, what's slaves got to do with us? In verse 8, he says, whether he is slave or free. Basically, he's talking to everyone, but he's just showing you that he's treating the lowest to the highest, and the message is the same for both. There's four verses that he mentions the slaves in, and each verse he mentions Christ. So in verse 5, just as you would obey Christ. So it's an action, but he's likening it to how we should behave towards Christ. We should behave like that to other people, to our masters, boss at work, boss at home. Verse 6, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. So, slaves to Christ. Verse 7, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. And then verse 8, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. Now, he's not saying here that you can do good works to get to heaven. This is something that you do after you've committed yourself to Christ. There are rewards in heaven, people. There are rewards in heaven. But to get to heaven, you have to accept Jesus first. But it clearly states here that there are rewards in doing good for Jesus. And after what was spoken this morning and what Johnny shared, God's moving. And if God's moving, I want to be a part of that movement. And I want the rewards that come with it. He then goes on to say, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favouritism with him. With him. Paul's saying here that Jesus is impartial. He will treat you the same, whether you are slave or master. Jesus is Lord over all. He's Lord for everyone. So, where does that leave us? When God gave me the scripture for tonight, he only gave me verse 7. And I'm wanting to bring this as a challenge to all of us, including me. This is the message tonight. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Too many times, and I've been guilty of it, we do stuff to please man when we shouldn't, when we should be stepping out to please God. And in this world that we live in, it's a very selfish world. And people are out there just for themselves. And not being dragged into that is very difficult. And I'm just going to put that challenge out to us tonight from what God has given us and give some examples of what we can do. I've got a little bit of a list of things. If there were some, well, there are some children here that do chores. When we do it, so Hope and Ethan, when mum and dad ask you to do the washing up, you're washing those dishes as if it's Jesus that's going to eat next off them. Not mum or dad, but Jesus. So we are doing what we are doing as if Jesus wants us to do it, as if Jesus is going to be there. If you're at work, you've got a deadline to finish. Whose toes do you step on to finish that deadline? Do you get irate with people? Do you do it as if you are working and doing that project for Jesus? Will you do it differently if Jesus is the foremost of your thought in that task? And I've put down cooking. Just a simple meal. Do we go to microwave? Shove a ready meal in microwave? Or do we actually sit and prepare? Are we preparing food for our families as if we are feeding Jesus? Or do it as a quick fix? I'm guilty of doing it as a quick fix many a time because you run out of time. But the best meals that we have as a family are those meals that somebody has lovingly stood and prepared. And they taste much better than something out of a microwave. So, how do we treat those who have authority over us? Sometimes we don't like some of the bosses and the way they treat us. On my station at work, I have two bosses directly above me. In sort of fire service speak, they are both watch managers. And it is a rarity that we have two watch managers on one shift. Hence the name watch manager. One watch, one manager. We have two. And it's very difficult. One of them is in overall charge, and the other one's in charge when he's on leave. But they both have a different way of running things. And one you like, one not so much. But you have to bow down to their authority. You might not like the way that they are running it, but if I think back to work and I don't like the way he runs it, he's not doing anything wrong. I just don't like the way he's doing it. I think there's a better way. but that's not for me to say. He's in charge. And the way we behave at work towards our bosses, it's our integrity. And if we cannot show that integrity to our bosses, what sort of witness are we as Christians? We need to be that witness in our workplace, no matter what the boss is doing. Unless he's doing something that is totally, totally wrong, and you have a legal standing to say and stand up to it, then we get on with our work and we do it as if we are doing it for Jesus. And that is our witness. The biggest witness that we have is how we behave within our workplace, within our families, in what we do and what we say. Which brings me on to families. There are times I know my family have not liked what I've done. And there will probably be times when they still won't like what I do. But the more and more I get closer to God, the more and more love I can show my family. And I can do it and lead in the way that Jesus wants me to lead. I treat them as if I was talking to Jesus in the room. Yes, they may be younger than me, but I have to treat them with respect so that I can have that respect back. Because if I don't give them the respect, then I don't get it. And that's where the problems start. We're not to judge people. We had a sermon not so long back, I think it's again Ruth, talking about planks and specks. And there's many times where we've got a plank in our own eye and we're trying to get a speck out of somebody else's. And we need to be in that position where we are free of the plank so that we can actually see the speck and deal with it in love. I'm just going to read from 1 John 3. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born to God. Once we are saved, it tells us there, we cannot go on sinning. And it's the sin that separates us from God. And I just pray that in our daily lives that we can not be the slave to sin. Jesus has set us free from that slavery. So where Paul talks about slaves, let us not be the slave to sin. Let us be that free man, free woman, and walk in the walk that God has got for us. I did have another scripture, and I won't come to with it, so I'm not going to say anything from it. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. I've already spoken about this. We need to be the light in this world. And if we are conforming to the world, we're not a light. We're just a part of it. So again, I just encourage you to no longer conform to the pattern of this world. Now, I thought it was going to take a little bit longer than this. We have another song to sing. And what I'd like everybody to do is to stand up. And I'm asking people to stand up for Jesus. I'm asking you to stand up for Jesus in your workplace and in your life and here in church. When we have visitors come in, we need to be stood for Jesus. Jesus needs to be the centre. And if Johnny's getting the song ready, if everybody stands, I'd like to pray and then I'd like us to sing. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And Lord, it's a challenging word, Lord. But each and every one of us that has stood now, Lord, we are standing for you, Lord. Even those who cannot physically stand, Lord, we are standing for you. We are going to be that light in this world, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you will give us that strength when we need it, Lord. I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.